Dean Richards, welcome in to our little program here today. Talking about, I guess, probably the biggest local political story of the week, the Chicago Tribune's endorsement of Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson for president caused a lot of conversation, a lot of controversy this week. I know certainly, you know, we've gotten a lot of reaction to it on our social media, on our text line. Part of that, because I guess after, you know, all of these decades, people are still thinking that WGN is owned by the Chicago Tribune. That is not the case, has not been the case since 2014, when the publishing part of the Tribune Company went completely separate from the broadcast part of our company. Our WGN Radio, WGN TV, all the broadcast entities are all owned by Tribune Media, and the newspaper is Tribune Publishing, or as it's now known, Trunk, completely separate company. Still, interestingly, a lot of confusion, even though it's been several years. Michael Lev is nice enough to join us today and talk about this. He's from the Chicago Tribune editorial board. I can only imagine what their social media must have been like and their emails must have been like. Michael, thank you for joining us today. I'm sure it was just one big love fest on your social media, I imagine, this week. Has it?
Well, if you focus on my mom's Twitter feed, then absolutely.
The moms. Isn't that the nice thing about moms? They'll support you no matter what happens.
And I was on CNN yesterday, and my brother put up a picture on Facebook, and that was really cool. See, I appreciated that.
See, that's what family's for, to be there for you.
But you know what? But there are other people who liked what we had to say and my explanation of it. There were others who said, "Ah, I get it." And then there were people who were very upset with us, and that's okay too. You know, we went out there to make our case and do it according to the principles of the Tribune, and I'm happy to talk about all that with you. And even you don't have to agree with us, but we can hash it out.
Sure. I appreciate that we can just have some dialogue on this, however it goes, because I also would like to open up the phone lines and get some listener comments and questions at 312-981-7200. First, though, I am curious about the reaction. How would you categorize percentage-wise? Would you say that most of the people agreed, disagreed? How would you categorize that?
Yeah, I mean, I've watched a lot of polling this year, you know, relating to the presidential race, but not so much of that. I don't know. I think a lot of people were, I would put it this way, people who were reading us closely through the year would not have been surprised at all. People who read the piece, some of them will disagree, maybe most of them will. People who just saw the headline, a lot of them are going to shake their heads. And that's why I'm happy to talk about it.
Yeah,
not everybody got a chance to read beyond the headline. And you really kind of, it was a good headline because it talked about us making a principled decision, and that word is so important.
Yeah, headline is a principled option for U.S. president endorsing Gary Johnson, libertarian. You should read the whole thing because we're not going to have time to read the whole thing. But basically saying this is the Tribune's endorsement article. The Republicans have nominated Donald Trump, a man not fit to be president of the United States. The Democrats have nominated Hillary Clinton, who, by contrast, is undeniably capable of leading the United States. Electing her the first woman president would break a barrier that has no reason to be, but then talks about her intent to greatly increase federal spending and taxation and serious questions about honesty and trust. We cannot endorse her. And then talks about, Michael, why don't you talk about why then you've made the choice for Gary Johnson?
Well, that's kind of a good way to set it up. But, you know, you mentioned Trunk, and I just kind of want to get that out of the way, first of all. You know, the editorial board of the Chicago Tribune, we think, analyze, and write in the institutional voice of our news organization, and we report to the editor and publisher of the Tribune. And that's as far as it goes. I mean, Trunk, as an organization that owns newspapers, owns the LA Times, too, and they endorsed Hillary Clinton. So we're really talking about the Chicago Tribune. And that's an institution that we're very aware of, goes back 170 years. And, in fact, in 1860, the Chicago Tribune endorsed Abraham Lincoln.
And ever since then,
you're not comparing Abraham Lincoln with Gary Johnson, though, are you? I've heard that come up in a couple of interviews, and it sounds like you're saying we endorsed a third party candidate, Lincoln, and now we're endorsing another third party candidate. It sounds like you're trying to link the two. Is that what you're doing?
No. Lincoln was a Republican. No. That's what I'm saying. Since 1860, we've aligned ourselves with the Republicans.
Republicans were sort of a third party candidate, third party then, back in those days, right?
The Whigs were. They were. Anyway, yeah. That's not the point at all, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
I'm trying to say that we consider ourselves the party of Lincoln. And in fact, when we wrote in March that there was no way we were going to endorse Trump, we were looking at the Republican Party saying, this is not the Republican Party that raises itself to Lincoln. What we've always sought to do is to find a candidate to support that matches our own viewpoint, our own view of the world. And that basically is, in a sentence, that we support the idea of maximum individual responsibility and minimal government. Okay, so then we get to the Republican Party of 2016, and Donald Trump doesn't match any of those ideas. He is, as you were reading, he's unfit. The guy is not, he's got no self-control. He's not capable of self-reflection. He's not capable of even contrition, nothing. He shouldn't be president. We're really clear on that. We've written that more than once. So then we look at Hillary Clinton. We look at her, and we look at what she's going to do. We look at how far to the left that she's veered, and we don't really recognize her as a moderate Democrat. She's gone way off to the side there. She's going to tax. She's going to spend. She doesn't care that we're $20 trillion in debt as a nation. And we don't like that, and that doesn't support our views. And on top of that, there are issues of integrity with her, as you also read. Okay, so then we're kind of right. We're stuck, except that this year it's a very strange year, and Donald Trump came and met with us, and then so did Gary Johnson and William Weld, and we spent an hour with them, and we came away intrigued, and we came away basically impressed, because Gary Johnson believes a lot of the same things that we do. The way he describes it, he's socially liberal and he's fiscally conservative, and that matches our outlook to a T.
Did Gary Johnson...
The question, Dean, is, you've got a candidate for president whose governmental principles match your own, why wouldn't you endorse him? And so that's what we decided to do.
Did Gary Johnson meet with the Tribune editorial board before his interview, in which he did not know Aleppo?
Yeah.
And his interview where he could not name a world leader could not name any world leaders. Is that a factor? I mean, the thing that I'm hearing most often is how could the Tribune endorse somebody who seems so unqualified to be president, seems so uninformed to be president?
Well, you know, if we started to make our decisions about who we endorse and not endorse based on the dumb things that they say on the campaign trail, we'd never endorse anybody. I wish he'd had a good answer there. It was dumb, but you know what was decent was the fact that he came back after he said, what is Aleppo, and said, that was a dumb thing that I did, and I'm really embarrassed about it. And that's a sentence you'd never hear from Donald Trump, and you'd never hear it from Hillary Clinton either. And so I thought that was pretty nice.
Yeah.
But when it comes to those questions of Aleppo and things, one of the things that we also point out in the editorial is he's really kind of an isolationist, and we are not at the Tribune, and we're not happy about that, and we're not thrilled about that. But when you do an endorsement, when you write an endorsement, and like I said, you're in a room where literally we've got a picture of Lincoln on the wall to remind us that we play the long game and that we really are trying to stick to principles, because you can't write editorials that stand for anything if you don't know what you stand for. And so in this election, if we had written an endorsement of Hillary Clinton based on the idea that she's capable, and that's it, then where does that leave us? We've editorialized ourselves into a corner, because for the 4 years that she's going to be president, so many things that she's going to do, we're going to disagree with. And every time we call her on it, someone's going to say, yeah, but you endorsed her. And we're going to have to say, yeah, you're right, because we remember what we write. We remember what we wrote, you know, as an institution in 1860, and I hope 100 years from now we'll remember what we did today. So that we come back to that word principled, and that is the guy, basically, Gary Johnson, aligns with us. We want to continue to write with integrity after November 9th. We know Gary Johnson's not going to be president. It would be
disingenuous to say otherwise, but it would have been wrong to endorse no one. He matches up with us, and so we're going to lay it all out there and explain why we did it. And you can agree or disagree, and if people want to get on the phone and talk to me about it, you know, some of them are going to say...
Yeah, and also on our text line, both lines are the same, 312-981-7200. 847 area code says the only reason they went with Gary Johnson is they don't want to lose subscribers. And it is kind of interesting that the Tribune endorsing Gary Johnson, a lot of people saying it was sort of a backdoor way of supporting a conservative candidate without supporting Donald Trump. You said that your sister company KTLA supporting Hillary Clinton, where there is a lot of advertising support because of the huge entertainment community there. I mean, please explain it to me, but it does seem like some of these decisions are made to keep advertisers and subscribers happy.
That's just 100% wrong. I've worked for the Chicago Tribune for over 20 years. I've been an editor there. I was a foreign correspondent there. And I've been on the editorial board for over 2 years. We never make decisions based on what advertisers are going to think. We don't make our decisions based on what we think subscribers are going to do. I think every time that we write editorials, people are I mean, endorsements for president, I think we lose some subscribers.
We accept that. That's fine. I don't get the calculations. And in fact, we're not playing that game at all here, you know, because if we were playing a calculation, we are very clearly strongly saying Donald Trump cannot become president. And I wrote one of those editorials. I wrote the one in March. And so therefore, what? I don't get it. If we had endorsed, I don't understand any of that. I mean,
well, I think the thinking there is a vote for Gary Johnson was a vote taken away from Hillary Clinton. Therefore, one for Donald Trump. I mean, you certainly must have heard that in some of your feedback. If I am repeatedly,
yeah, I guess I've heard that. And what we're saying is, if you look at the polling, if you look what the American voters have been saying for months, more than 50% of the voters don't like either of those candidates. The numbers may be slightly worse for Trump. More than 50% of the voters out there don't like either of those candidates. They were clamoring for a third choice. And so why are people assuming that voting, that endorsing Johnson helps Trump? I don't see that at all. And we're not smart enough to make that kind of a Rube Goldberg sort of free bank shot thing.
Okay, 773.
We really are standing. We're just saying this endorsement speaks to a lot of things.
Okay.
It speaks to those three candidates and who we are as a newspaper.
Here is the second most frequent text or email that I've received. And on our text line right now, coming in like crazy, from 773-847-708, why not just not endorse anyone since you have disagreements with all of them?
Really good question. And I think the answer is because if we stand for, you know, the first thing that we stand for, I think, is for democracy and for, you know, the freedom that we enjoy in our great republic. And if we encourage people, if we said no endorsement, then we're encouraging people to stay home. And even when you've got three crummy choices, I think the worst thing for the state of the country is for people to stay home and not vote. And we don't ever want to encourage people to do that. We want people to participate.
Yeah, but if you're saying three crummy choices, then aren't you saying we are endorsing one of those crummy choices? Isn't it better to not pick a crummy choice?
No, I don't think it is. No, I'm saying, I guess three crummy choices is me, you know, speaking on the phone with you. I don't think I would ever use that phrase if I were writing something. No.
We cannot have Donald Trump as president. We were clear about that. We cannot endorse Hillary Clinton because she does not represent the things that we represent, and we're deeply troubled by the integrity and character issues we have. There is a third choice out there, and Gary Johnson aligns with us, and we're going to endorse him, and it's for these reasons. And if you read kind of if you read the whole editorial, if you read the tone of it, and also if you, you know, if you hear me trying to articulate what we wrote, not as well, but if you hear me articulating that, we're unhappy with the state of politics in America right now. We are deeply frustrated with the Republican Party and the way it's been hijacked, and the fact that we couldn't have a candidate for president who speaks to Republican ideals. And we're frustrated with the Democrats, too. We're saying Gary Johnson's the best choice here. I think we're also saying, because he's not going to win, things have to change. And, you know, that's another hurdle for another day, but that definitely is part of what's going on here with what we wrote and why.
Okay, I need to take a break, Michael, if you can hang on for a quick second.
Sure.
And we'll come back and take your phone calls. Michael Lev, editorial board member of the Chicago Tribune. It's 12:26.
Who's your favorite foreign leader?
Who's my favorite?
Any, just name anywhere in the country, any one of the continents, any country. Name one foreign leader that you respect and look up to. Anybody.
Mine was Shimon Peres.
No, okay, I'm talking about living. Go ahead. You got to do this. Anywhere, any continent. Canada, Mexico, Europe over there, Asia, South America, Africa. Name a foreign leader that you respect.
I guess I'm having an Aleppo moment in the former president of Mexico.
But I'm giving you the whole world.
I know.
And this is what has a lot of people disturbed about an endorsement for Gary Johnson. It's not so much the idea of endorsing a third party candidate, but one, as was demonstrated on MSNBC, someone who is... again, for a second time, kind of froze when asked a question that you might expect someone running for president to know. Michael Lev is with the editorial board of the Chicago Tribune. Their endorsement of the Libertarian candidate has caused lots and lots of talk this week. Let's get some phone calls for you here, Michael, at 312-981-7200. And John, you're going to be up first. Hi, you're on WGN. John, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks, Gene. Right. Thanks
right
for
in.
Taking the call.
Sure.
I thought it was a very well-written editorial, very forceful, stated its case clearly, and was very comprehensive. But it didn't go one step further, and that is there's a very serious reason why, after all of the buffoonery and the hilarity of the Trump campaign, he's still drawing 40%. And even though she is heads and shoulders more qualified, Hillary Clinton is only beating him by 3% in spite of all that's happened in the last week. And the reason for that is because there's a very, very strong distrust in the American electorate for both of these candidates and for the system itself. And the problem that I think I'd like your editorial writer to address is that if the trend continues, Hillary Clinton is going to be the least popular and least trusted executive we have ever had in the White House, I think, at least in my lifetime. And our enemies overseas and at home are going to know that, and they'll know it very well, and they're going to take advantage of it. So that's a consequence. And by the way, I am not voting for Hillary Clinton, and I'm a Republican, and I would not vote for Donald Trump at gunpoint. So I appreciate the editorial, but
Let's see what Michael thinks about what you've said. Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, well, thanks for reading, John, and I appreciate everything that you said there. And we share those concerns. I mean, we can only say so much in editorial, and so we were focused on why we think Gary Johnson's the best choice. But I don't know what's going to happen, assuming Hillary Clinton wins, if you want to assume that. And I'm not going to even predict where this election's going to go. We just went with our principles here, and we met with Johnson, and we thought he was we found him to be smart, and we thought he was effective when he was the governor of New Mexico. He was a Republican who governed in a Democratic state. But then, if you want to start handicapping what's going to happen if Hillary Clinton is elected, I can't really predict that. Except I agree with you that her presidency is going to continue the trend that we've had, which is we've got a divided country. And when you have that, you don't get a lot done in Washington. You get nothing done. And one of the little fantasies we had after meeting with Johnson is, well, maybe if he were actually president, maybe he'd be the guy who could actually find a little bit of wiggle room for the two sides to come together. Again, we didn't go that far in the editorial, but it's all of a piece. You know, we're a very divided country right now,
and all speculation. Yeah. I mean, there's really no way of knowing how anybody would be once they get into office when things circumstances start to happen. We're getting off the subject of endorsements by getting into that. But Michael, help me here, because here's the part that I'm not understanding. It's not that you chose a third party candidate. You listed why you didn't want the Republican candidate. You listed why you didn't want the Democratic. You listed positives for the Democratic candidate, but said you couldn't support her. But then with Gary Johnson, you're also telling me there are things with which you disagree with him, yet still made the endorsement. I mean, and there are lots of things. You know, if you actually go ahead and read the Libertarian party line, the issues, there are lots of things in there. I would guess that a conservative newspaper like the Chicago Tribune would not agree with. You said that there are several things. And also, I wonder if it would have made a difference if the Aleppo and MSNBC interview about the world leaders had happened after you met with him, if that would have made any difference. Sort of two questions,
right.
I guess, there.
Right. No, I get it. When we met with him and with William Weld, one of the things that we were struck with, well, first of all, as I kind of threw in there, they were both two-term Republican governors in Democratic states who got things done. So they know how to work with people with whom they don't agree. And we like that a lot. Johnson's got a nice, solid business background, too. But what we really appreciated about the two of them was they came to us as the Libertarian Party candidates, but very pragmatic guys. We saw them much more as sort of small L rather than capital L libertarians. They didn't come into the room trying to, you know, with their dog-eared copies of Ayn Rand, trying to tell us, you know, how the world should be. They came in saying, these are some of the principles that we think are important, and this is the perspective we'll come at when we go to Washington, and then we'll try to get things done. So in a way that you wouldn't hear or expect either from Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, you heard from those two guys a willingness to go to Washington and actually listen and maybe compromise and therefore maybe get the country going in the right direction.
I hear you saying that you like their demeanor, but I'm not sure I'm hearing you answer my question about that there are issues with which you disagree, yet and there are issues with which you disagree with the other candidates and disqualified them because of that. The issues with which you disagree with Johnson didn't seem to strike that same disqualification.
No, it didn't. I mean, of the three candidates, only one of them seems to acknowledge that America is part of a bigger world. Johnson's the only one who has any kind of realistic grip on the fact that that globalization exists. And so he is in favor of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, for example. You know, Illinois is one of the biggest manufacturing and agriculture states in the country. You know, billions of dollars worth of soybeans and corn go down the Mississippi and they go to Asia. That's who we are in Illinois, and that's what's going to get us out of this fiscal mess. You don't hear any of that from Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. She was a supporter of TPP, you know, until she realized she might get 2 points more in the polling by being against it. And that's the kind of thing that drove us away. So then we meet with Gary Johnson, who supports trade. It's just a completely logical thing. And there are enough things in Gary Johnson's demeanor, in his background, in the things that he believed with that match up with us. Not everything, and we said that in the editorial. But the thing is, if we had Gary Johnson, if he did go to Washington, he'd be surrounded by experts, and they would all be able to name 100 towns in Syria, and he would listen to those experts. And, you know, what would Donald Trump do, right? So that's getting a little closer to what we were thinking.
And just to be clear, the Tribune editorial board did not meet with Hillary Clinton?
No, I don't think she's been in town very much. She probably didn't. I don't know how that worked.
Was she invited?
Donald Trump, I presume that she was.
I don't know how it works, if it's an invitation or they contact you or you contact them, or how all that works.
Yeah, but, I mean, it happens. But, you know, I mean, I think the reality is she doesn't have to meet with us, right? I mean, she's going to win Illinois. She knows that we're not going to be, you know, big fans. So I'm sure they didn't go out of her way to get her in front of us. But I don't know. I don't know.
Just curious.
Donald Trump, I think Donald Trump came to us. It was like 2 weeks after he had declared. So it's just the timing is just very propitious there. And then and we met with Jill Stein, too. She came to visit us as well at the Green Party.
Donald Trump.
We had a nice conversation with her, too.
Donald Trump in the building and didn't even stop in to say hello to me. It's not right. Here's Kathy on WGN. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dean. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
First of all, I'd like to thank you, Mr. Leavitt, and thanks to the Tribune for standing up for a third opinion. Way too much of the media in this country tried to channel people into believing that you only have two choices in this country, Republicans or Democrats. Look at the debates, for example. They didn't include third-party candidates. The standards of, you know, having X percentage in the polls was just an excuse. And I think it's a wonderful thing that editors and newspapers are encouraging people to broaden their horizons. I think people really need to consider that if we're going to have a free country. And as far as Gary Johnson's statement about world leaders, the question was, are there any you admire? And I think most of the American people would be hard-pressed to name anyone they admire. That's the state of the world in the country today. So he was acting like a normal human being.
Except he's running for president, though, Kathy. I mean, that's
well, okay.
That's.
I think the candidate is perfect. There is no candidate who is perfect.
Well, that's sort of the point. If the candidates are not perfect, why are you picking one of the non-perfect candidates? Why aren't you saying that none of them
is not perfect? I certainly wouldn't vote for her.
And if you have, and if there are issues with which you disagree with the person that you're endorsing, then you're disqualifying certain people because you disagree with them on certain things, but not disqualifying this other person because you disagree with them.
The newspaper would never endorse anybody on that basis.
Yeah, Dean, you're putting us to shame in the principal department there. I mean, I think the caller is right. Not, you know, which candidate's perfect? None of them are perfect.
Well, then doesn't that say that maybe you shouldn't endorse anybody if nobody's perfect?
No. I mean, we have a lot of white space. I don't even know what perfect means, you know? No. You look at the choices that are out there and you match up what's important to you and what's important to the country, and you make a decision about who you think would be the best leader and who's the one that you could proudly say that you support.
And that's what it was.
Gary Johnson. I get it.
I mean, that's the point you said at the beginning of the interview. We might disagree on some things, and that's one of the things that with which I disagree. Kathy, I agree with you. I mean, it's great we should have as many voices out there as possible. I would have loved to have seen him, and honestly, Jill Stein also in the.
Absolutely! I'm going to vote for her or the or Gary Johnson.
I would have liked to have seen as many voices as possible. That said, I think that if all the choices out there, if someone's going to, I mean, nobody would ask me for an endorsement, but if I had problems with all of them, then I would just say I have a problem with all of them. That's just me.
Mr. Leavitt is right. If everybody felt that way, no one would vote.
I don't know. I don't know if they would or not.
They wouldn't. They would stay home as they have so many other times. They wouldn't like any of the candidates because they, you know, didn't meet this, that, or other strict criteria. And no one would ever vote. And we've seen what the problems are with that in this country.
Well, I mean, personally, this gets down to, you know, our own personal choices with this. And again, that's getting off the subject of the endorsements. I appreciate your call. And as a matter of correction, Michael Lev is the editorial board member we're speaking with today, just to make sure we get his name correctly. Kathy, thank you very much.
I apologize, Mr. Lev. I'm sorry.
That's okay. your point was very well taken. I appreciate it. Hi, Matt. You're on WGN.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. I have a question for Mr. Lev. I'd like you to explain your logic indicating that the Tribune is the party of Lincoln and is fiscally conservative yet socially liberal when you twice endorsed Obama for president and far-left liberals, the equivalent of Durbin. Can you explain your logic there?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Barack Obama was the first Democrat for president that the Tribune had ever endorsed. And I think we did it because we knew him and we were comfortable with him and we felt a special obligation to support him. I wasn't there at the time and part of the decision making, so I can't go a lot further than that. But I think I would just say that it was we took a little bit of a risk and that's why we did it. And, you know, I think having done that, if we had then endorsed Hillary Clinton this time because she was the anti-Trump, then at some point we'd wake up in the morning and say, who are we as a newspaper? One of the things that we do is we've got principles that we ascribe to and we stick to them, but we always look at the issues as they come. We're not doctrinaire. We never wake up in the morning and know exactly what we're going to write. And that's why sometimes we end up endorsing Democrats, because we acknowledge that they're the right person at the right moment. We endorse some congressmen who are Democrats because they're good for their district, so we're open-minded rather than strict about it. And I like that about us.
Matt, thank you for the call. I just want to ask you one more question, Michael, before we go. We're talking about the concept of endorsements in general, celebrity endorsements, sports figures that have come out, you know, for different candidates and so forth, and just the whole concept of endorsements in general. Do you think that newspaper endorsements have the same kind of impact that they did years ago, now with so much media that's available now, and so much especially that is extremely partisan on the internet, that always takes a very strong point of view, cable news networks, social media, etc. Is it the same kind of impact as, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, where we got, the major news and opinions came from print?
Well, I'm partisan, right? I think what the Chicago Tribune is doing right now is just as important or more important, because we are professionals and we are good at our craft and we're responsible and, blah, blah, blah. That's me talking about ourselves. I take your point that there's a lot of media and a lot of voices out there and they're shouting. I think it's a particularly tumultuous time. I think newspapers are still trying to get their footing in the new age. But I'm not going to give any ground there. And I'm going to say that the idea of a newspaper rooted in a community where we do so much of the important reporting day to day and holding people accountable, the fact that a distinct but still part of that same organization, the fact that we can then step back and take the time and make the commitment, the investment to look at issues day by day and make choices about them and share opinions about them, I think it's vital. And I think when we get through this period and the Tribune is still strong, I think it'll be even more vital. The Sun-Times for a while gave up on it, and then they came back to it. Because when you take away that part of the voice of a news organization, then it's just not as strong. So, yeah, I'm going to say that we're just as important. But there are a lot of different places to get your news. I realize that.
Yeah, interesting. Sun-Times supporting Hillary Clinton. USA Today saying we're not endorsing anyone. Really interesting dynamic on this whole thing. When all is said and done, even though, a lot of people have disagreements here and there and agreements as well, it certainly is causing a lot of conversation and people are thinking about the election, thinking about their choices. It's not unlike what we do here on the radio every day, where there are tons of opinions being expressed, some with which you agree and some that you don't. But hopefully, at least in the dialogue and all the opinions, you're at least thinking about things. And it's giving you an opportunity open up some thinking and maybe hear something that you didn't think about before.
Yeah. So. all your listeners can disagree with everything that we wrote and I said, but I just hope I'm communicating the idea that it's being done with integrity, meaning we've got a set of principles, and we're going to wake up after the election and keep writing according to that set of principles. And that's what led us to endorse Johnson here. If we had endorsed Hillary Clinton, then we would have been just floating out to sea, trying to influence an election, you know, one day's election, rather than playing the long game. And that's what we're trying to do.
Michael Lev is editorial board member of Chicago Tribune. Appreciate you joining us today, Michael. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.